This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Oh, what's good with you on this Tuesday? You got Bart Scott over there, Freddie coming in for Alan Hahn over here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. SiriusXM Channel 80 is also your smart speakers presented by Progressive Insurance. We're 10 minutes away from finding out exactly how we really feel when it comes to Baker Mayfield. I had a chance to speak about him not going back to Cleveland. That comes your way in about 10 minutes. But if you worry about Kyrie Irving not going back to the Brooklyn Nets, and he's going to be back there on a $36.5 million contract for 1 year. Let's bring in Dave McMiniman. Does a great job. ESPN NBA reporter. Always great to catch up with him. Hit him on Twitter at MC10. Dave, no one was surprised that Kyrie Irving decided to opt back in for $36.5 million. But realistically, what does this mean for him for at least 1 year staying with the Brooklyn Nets?
Yeah, you know, Freddie, I got into this field to avoid math, but even my rudimentary mind recognized that $36.5 million is a lot more attractive than the $6.5 million the Lakers would have had to offer him. And so there was a lot of posturing, a lot of maneuvering, and certainly some smoke signals being sent out basically since a couple days before last week's NBA draft. But this is where he will most likely end up. Now, there is still the chance that Brooklyn would find a trade partner. You know, there are still subsequent conversations that will occur between Brooklyn's front office with Kevin Durant. And if things go sideways, this thing could still be dismantled. But for the time being, we're operating under the assumption that you're going to have Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant back in uniform next season. And perhaps the only true time we can see what they look like. Obviously, the last 3 years have been a variety of injuries. Obviously, the complications stemming from the COVID-19 vaccine requirements that Kyrie Irving chose to forego. But, you know, as you look around the landscape of the league, 3 years ago, we said Kyrie and KD, that's enough. Now you say, I don't even know what that team looks like. Even with the healthy Ben Simmons and some quality role players like Seth Curry and Joe Harris, they still may only be, a 4 or 5 seed in the Eastern Conference at best.
Right. See, I just want to see what this team looks like as constituted. Put together, because that's something that we had never seen before. You know, we talked about last year, 13-3, when they all played together. Like, I just want to see the team get out there and be healthy for some part of the year and see what they can do. I mean, because I think that Ben Simmons, to me, is the missing ingredient that they needed, because they finally have somebody that can match up with Tatum, or that can match up against Brown, can match up against Giannis, that gives them defensive stability. And, you know, I just wonder, like, you know, we know that this may be the last ride for Kyrie, but what does this mean for Kevin Durant and his future?
Certainly. And Kevin Durant reestablished his legacy amongst the game greats by leading the USA to the gold medal and clearly being the best player in that tournament over in Japan. But listen, there's still a long way for him to go to fully legitimize the talents he was bestowed with and quite frankly, the hype he entered the league with. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from the guy. 2-time champion, multi-time All-Star, the Olympics, all the scoring accolades, All-Stars, et cetera, et cetera. But you look at his body, his skill set. I mean, he has the combination to be, you know, not just be an all-time great, but like top of the top. On top of the pile, Mount Rushmore type of game when you put it all together, and there's still more work to be done to reach that level. And certainly, yeah, as it stands now, yeah, I agree with you, Bart. I like to see what it looks like all together, because we saw that wonderful playoff series that they had against the Bucks a couple of years ago when Kyrie was hurt and James Harden was, you know, dragging his body around on one leg. And Durant was the best player going up against Giannis, who ended up legitimizing his place as the best player that year by winning the championship. But I just don't see it. And now, you know, maybe Ben Simmons this time away will completely change him for the better. But the last we saw of Ben Simmons, you know, I listened to your point saying he's going to be an excellent wing defender. You'd think so. But guess what? Him being an excellent wing defender wasn't enough to get the Philadelphia 76ers past the Atlanta Hawks when they were a higher seed. And so I'm not ready to say that he is the missing ingredient there quite yet.
Dave McMiniman, ESPN NBA reporter. Hit him on Twitter, MC10, joining Freddie Coleman and Bart Scott. I'm Bart Hahn on ESPN Radio. I'm going to go back to your point about legitimate when it comes to legitimate and Kevin Durant in terms of a guy that's won two championships, has won two Olympic gold medals. Why does that seem to still be a narrative next to Kevin Durant that he has to win a championship in Brooklyn to really be even more legitimate when it comes to his legacy?
I think it's just the way his story has gone, right? Like, for years, LeBron still had, and actually, quite frankly, there's still some people who bring it up. The nature of him going to Miami versus just getting it done in Cleveland to begin with, it rubbed people the wrong way. Sports fans weren't used to seeing athletes take agency over their past that way. It was more acceptable for a sports fan to see a guy traded than see a guy leave on their own volition. And quite frankly, that was a course correction, I think, that we needed to see in pro sports. But because I don't think the digestion of the kind of common thinking man has caught up to that yet, he still bears some of that scrutiny. And, you know, obviously he was the man at OKC, small market franchise, the MVP, you know, all that. And to leave for the team that beat him in Golden State, that was one thing. And then to go to a Brooklyn team that, you know, I don't think Kevin is the guy who is fueling the fire there. But quite frankly, the way Kyrie Irving has conducted himself the last couple of years have not made the Brooklyn Nets a very likable team. And I think he's bearing some of the brunt of that, too. And so you put all that together, the top of mind thought when it comes to Kevin Durant isn't perhaps the greatest scorer ever to play the game, the gold medals, the championships. It is, oh, this guy needed to latch on to a dynasty in order to win. And when he's done it himself, he hasn't done it.
You know, I made this analogy earlier in the show, but, you know, sometimes when you have conversations, you know, other thoughts pop in your head. And I look at, you know, Brooklyn as Marvel, but the DC comic version of Brooklyn is the Los Angeles Clippers, because when they got Kawhi Leonard at the height of his superpowers, they were supposed to, you know, take the city of Los Angeles and make it a Clippers town, even though we know that's not realistic. But, you know, they fell short, and he's coming back. And Paul George has a narrative of being, you know, pandemic P for being able, because he shut down in the bubble, and they fell short there. So are we letting the Clippers off the hook, you know, with a healthy Kawhi Leonard? Who has more pressure, the Clippers or the Brooklyn Nets?
It's a great parallel, Bart, because obviously we talk about the Knicks and the Lakers ad nauseum, to the point of exhaustion, and those are the other two teams in those cities and sometimes get overlooked. But by the nature of the personalities of KD and Kyrie, they stay a part of the zeitgeist, whereas Kawhi Leonard would be just fine never hearing his name on a television program again in his life. I'm pretty darn sure of it.
Yeah.
And even Paul George, I think, maybe has adjusted the way he puts himself out in the media ever since the backlash he received from opening up about what he was going through in the bubble. But certainly the expectations placed on the Los Angeles Clippers in the summer of 2019 haven't come anywhere close to bearing fruition. And that's the exact same thing you could say about the Brooklyn Nets. I think the difference there is what the Clippers did in the 2020 playoffs with guys being hurt, and what they did last year, even though they did lose that play-in game to the Minnesota Timberwolves. They've proven to be a group that seems to be more team-oriented and winning-oriented with Ty Lue at the helm, whereas the organization of the Brooklyn Nets, I don't think there's too many people saying, well, you know, Steve Nash is still making sure that Nick Claxton and Seth Curry and those guys are progressing as a group. And whenever those other guys get healthy, they can make the next step. I think you look at this Clippers team and you say, oh, wow, look at the strides that they made with guys like Luke Kennard Hartlestein, all those guys, and then put Kawhi back in there healthy, and you know they're going to add John Wall, et cetera, and Reggie Jackson's progression, and oh wow, that's a team that you can visualize being a contender next season. Whereas I think there's just so many more question marks still surrounding the Nets.
Yeah, in other words, the NBA offseason has barely gotten started, and already it's off to a flying start. No matter what happens, our man Dave McMenamin, ESPN NBA reporter, will be all over it. Hit him on Twitter, MC10, joining Freddie Cohen and Bart Scott and Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Dave, always a pleasure, my friend. Enjoy the rest of the summer if you can.
I can't believe we went through the whole segment without talking Lakers. Yeah. You guys are the best.
Stay tuned. Let's put it this way. The Lakers aren't done. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thanks, guys.
Dave McMenamin was on Bart and Hahn. By the way, thanks to O'Reilly Auto Parts. They want you to think about all your car care needs because they're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So Baker Mayfield said what we all thought he was going to say when it comes to his future in Cleveland. That Ivan Bart has this from O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Back to back like Drake with the O'Reilly Auto Parts. I hear you. Superstar batteries are designed for long-lasting performance and consistent starts. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, get up to $15 off after a mail-in rebate when you purchase select Superstar batteries. Get a Superstar battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today, and their professional parts people can help you find the right battery for your vehicle. Trust Superstar batteries for power, performance, and reliability exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Damn.
Now we're talking here on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, as well your smart speakers with Bart Scott and Freddie Coleman in for Alan Hahn. So Baker Mayfield, Cleveland Browns. By the way, the hearing is supposed to be today involving the guy replacing the quarterback comes to Deshaun Watson. I'm sure that we're going to hear a lot about that in the coming days. But Baker Mayfield, at his football camp in Oklahoma, had a chance to speak on his future with the Cleveland Browns.
Well, it's fair that you still don't kind of know where you're going or what's going to be happening?
I think I got frustrated with it not happening before, like mini camp and all those things. But That's the stuff that's out of my control, and so, you know, let those things happen and fall into place. And so right now I'm just controlling what I can and enjoying this.
A lot of people that know you know, you know, kind of what you're about and your personality, and they're curious, could Baker Mayfield ever play again for the Browns?
I think it's been pretty obvious the mutual decision on both sides is to move on. You know, I'm thankful for my 4 years in Cleveland. There's a lot of ups and downs and a ton of learning experiences that I'll forever keep with me. You know, teammates and friends and relationships that I'll have for a lifetime. And, you know, just flew in last night from East Lansing, Michigan for Drew Stanton, who's my mentor. He was a quarterback there in Cleveland when I got drafted. And just relationships like that, you're just so thankful for. So, I mean, the support staff in Cleveland, the people of Cleveland, it's a great sports town. So I'm thankful for it. And there's no resentment towards the city of Cleveland by any means.
But I think a lot of people think if they didn't have a quarterback for the next year, would there be any chance of reconciliation there?
No, I think for that to happen, there would have to be some reaching out. But we're ready to move on, I think, on both sides.
Yeah, no kidding. Because even if they needed a quarterback, whatever happened to Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield ain't picking up that phone.
Right now, I think Baker Mayfield is like, that's what you wanted, right? So he wants them to come back to him and for him to be able to have, you know, that feeling of saying, no, I'm good, right? But the reality of it is if Deshaun Watson is suspended, they're okay with Jacoby Brissett, mm-hmm. especially when you look at their first five games are very winnable games.
Right.
And, you know, over the top 10, if they're somewhere and they just need to be in striking distance and this team just needs to be where it needs to be for the postseason, they don't have to worry about winning the division. They're a very dangerous football team. They have drafted well over the last couple of years. They have built a solid offensive line, maybe one of the top five offensive lines in the league. They have two of the very best running backs in the game, and Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. On the outside, the addition of Amari Cooper is a move that you make when you're trying to win a championship now. You understand that you have a window before you have to pay all these other guys. They paid Denzel Ward.
You're
they
right.
still have guys that are ready to come into their own. They have a very young team, and the problem when you have a young team is they become of age all at the same time. So they know that they have maybe this year and next year before they have to start kind of selling off pieces when they're not able to retain or re-sign some of these guys. And that's why they made the bold move to move on from Baker Mayfield, because he's good enough to win you games. He's not good enough to win you a championship. But at some point, when you go against another team's great player, you need your guy to be able to hold his own
right.
or to even make it a push. It can't go one way or the other. He's just not that quarterback. He's a decent to good quarterback, but he's not a great quarterback. And great quarterbacks, on 9 times out of 10, are the one. I know we have our outliers, you know, in Nick Foles sometimes, but, you know, the mark of demarcation as far as how bad your quarterback can be, probably about Kirk Cousins and up, that you need that, right? That's like Kirk Cousins is the right above the average quarterback,
sure.
right? When you think about in this league, you can't win in this league with a top 18 or 20 quarterback because they don't allow defenses to be as dominant as they used to.
Why do you think, and I'm throwing this out at you because you study football, you understand the game, not just on the defensive side, but the offensive side. This guy was drafted number one overall by the Cleveland yeah. Browns. And if you had told me, okay, despite his stature, he could be a successful quarterback, I would have bought into that with Baker Mayfield a lot mm-hmm. more than I bought into Johnny Manziel
yeah.
when he left Texas A&M. Why do you think that he was not able to do that, get to that level with the Cleveland Browns?
Well, you think about the system, right? The system was very quarterback friendly, allowed him to really throw to a lot of open guys. He's not the tallest quarterback, so he can't throw over the defense, so he needs lanes to throw through. Much like, you know, Kyler Murray, right? You think about two guys in the same system, mm-hmm. right? But Drew Brees was a little bit smarter as far as and look at the coach he went with, you know, learning yeah. the game. He was smarter as far as being able to think the game, knowing where the ball goes before. And Baker's just not that. At least he's not that right now. The difference between Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, who came from the same system, who struggles at times with the same things, is Kyler Murray has a bigger arm, right? So you have to defend more of the football field. And also he has that extra element, which he's able to elude.
Right.
And he's able to outrun you. So you have to be disciplined within your lanes. You can't rush him recklessly. Baker Mayfield is a sub. He's not a great athlete, right? He's a subpar athlete at best. So with all that invisible juice that he had out there steaming Willie Beeman in college, that doesn't play because now your line is not as dominant as the other team's defensive line, right? Now everything's pretty equal, and you have to be better than the other quarterback. Same system, Kyler Murray offers two different elements that Baker Mayfield could never offer. You know, you can't teach arm strength, you can't teach athleticism and speed, and Baker Mayfield, you know, is probably the best player that he can pretty much be because with the injuries, that's injuries add up because he's a sitting duck back there because he's not able to make people fear him as far as being an athlete. They add up. Eventually, it's the law of diminished returns.
Right.
Like, he's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. So mm-hmm. I think they recognize that, and they recognize they've done a good job in every other place, pass rushing, linebackers, safeties. The Browns for years have had probably arguably the best roster in football outside of the quarterback position.
Yeah, one of the things about that, and believe me, Cleveland can't wait for this to move forward, Deshaun Watson, quick enough.
Right.
No matter what the suspension is going to be. The NFL, they want indefinite. Cleveland Brown, the NFLP, are like, wait a minute, you guys got to give us a definite number, then we can negotiate from there. There's no doubting Deshaun Watson's talent, and that's why we know why the Browns
top sound. Five.
Yeah.
It's not an indictment on Baker Mayfield.
No, it isn't.
For Baker Mayfield to be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, he would have had to take Andy Dalton, Colin Kaepernick type of contract where it's saying, okay, listen, I know and I identify that I am not the best quarterback. I am a good quarterback and I can be better.
Right.
But I have to leave money on the table for us to make our team better to make sure that we can retain some of these special players because I'm not one of the special players.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's okay. Not every team has a special quarterback. A lot of them have special quarterbacks. The team that won the Super Bowl has a special quarterback. But if you don't have a special quarterback, you have to have special players around you. And to do that, you can't pay a quarterback $40 million and allow him to take 15 to 20% of your salary cap.
Right.
That's the issue. See, Baker Mayfield, because he had the commercials, because he gets a lot of the fame, it being famous and good is two different things. Because you have that don't mean that you deserve the money. Right. And I think he didn't have the right people around him because if he'd have went to the Browns before last season and said, hey, listen, I'll give you a team friendly deal. I want to be the lifetime quarterback here and I'm always leave some cheese on the taco like Tom Brady used to do. So us to go out and get hired guns when we need to get some special players because I understand I'm good, but I need to be great. I need great players around me.
Also, don't think it helped Baker Mayfield or Joe Burrow what he's been able to do in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
In the same state.
He's special.
He is. And a guy that won the Heisman Trophy like Baker Mayfield, he seemed to make the Cincinnati Bengals better quicker.
A force multiplier is what we call him. Do you make people around you better? Or are you better because of the people around you? That's the difference.
That's a great, great point. Bart Scott, Freddie Coleman on Bart and Hahn, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hit us up on Twitter anytime you want. Bart's handle at BartScott57. My handle at ColemanESPN. We're going to stay in the National Football League, and you're going to find out why two is the magic number when it comes to these quarterbacks. Keep it here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
Along Bart Scott and Freddie Coleman in for Alan Hahn on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com. You're about to find out right now why two is the magic number when it comes to the National Football League this year. You got all these second-year quarterbacks trying to make a big jump after last year in their rookie season. Zach Wilson, quarterback of the Jets. Justin Fields, quarterback of the Chicago Bears. Can't forget about Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Davis Mills of the Houston Texans. Trey Lance of the San Francisco 49ers. And as you like to call Mac and Cheese Jones from New England Patriots. So I threw all those dudes out there. Which quarterback in his second year, Bart, is going to make the biggest jump and why?
I'm not being a homer. I'm going to go Zach Wilson. Okay. Right, because I feel like their team did the better job. You can make an argument for maybe Trevor Lawrence. It all depends on how Doug Peterson. But once again, you're talking about a rookie quarterback learning a totally different system. Sure. Zach Wilson is able to be able to keep some of the momentum that he started to develop near the end of the season. They've done a tremendous job. And it's not only what they did in free agency in the draft, but it's almost the fact that they're getting two players back from injury. So it's almost like getting two stars when you get Mekhi Becton coming back, you know, who his first year, Brian Baldinger could not like even mention his name without laughing and chuckling as far as just how amazed he was at what he was doing to grown men. Right. So now he comes back and he's able to maybe go to right tackle. You know, they went out and they got two good tight ends, two tight ends that had more production than the entire tight end room had collectively. You go out, you go get Garrett Wilson, right? You go out and you go out and you get Tomlinson. So now you look at that offensive line. You know, Vera Tucker, Fant played tremendously well. And he was one of the highest rated left tackles. Now you go get a Pro Bowl right guard, and Becton comes back at right tackle.
Right.
Now you've protected him, and now you go out and you get Breece Hall, who I believe
should be probably a candidate
for rookie of the year as far as running the football. Now you said, okay, well, now that it's not such a discrepancy in talent, right? And you look on the other side, I think people aren't accounting Sauce Gardner is going to be tremendous, but then DJ Reader over there, but then Breece Hall himself was, it's crazy. They got so many guys on the team with the same exact name.
I know.
It's ridiculous, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Right? Michael Carter, too.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh. It's going to, hi, my name is what?
Your name is Michael Carter. Exactly. So, you know, you look at what they did going out and getting a Super Bowl champion in Jordan Whitehead, right, to pair with, you know, the other Breece Hall on the other side, you know. And so I just think that they're going to have a full team, and they played hard, and they built the back in their roster.
Yeah.
And you look at Becton, but I forget that Carl Lawson is coming back, who by all indications was a tremendous pickup. And now they got the kid from Florida State. And so now they got two bookend pass rushers
in that division.
They already have one of the best young interior tackles in Quinnen Williams. So like I think that let's see what they can get out of Solomon Thomas. But I think Zach Wilson is the one put in the best position, and the Jets are put in the best position to make a huge leap.
Yeah, with Zach Wilson, here's the one thing, and I'm saying this as a Jets fan because I get it why they drafted him.
Right.
I know why they fell in love with the young man from BYU. Bart, I'm just hoping we're not asking the same questions or trying to answer the same question after year one. And I'm not saying I'm giving him a pass, but I know he can make the 3-point shot. Got to be able to make layups.
Exactly.
If it's 3rd and 5, you can't be throwing bounce passes to the feet of people like Steph Curry.
Right.
And you can't just hit that 3-point shot. You got to be able to stack first downs and keep rhythm and keep the offense. If he's not making those kind of strides, then all of a sudden, all you mentioned, then everybody has to overplay what he's not able to do.
Well, a lot easier to do when you just turn around and hand the football off.
Absolutely.
Right. See, that's what he couldn't do last year because he didn't have a line that can move grown men against their will. Now you do. So now you just imagine if Becton is what we thought he was his first year, which to me was Jason Peters.
Yeah. Can he play at 350 though?
I mean, I've seen him multiple times. He didn't seem like overly out of shape.
Okay.
Can Jason Peters play at 350? He did.
And, not everybody's the same, but I hear you.
And he's on the right side, right? Where he's going to be protected as well by a tight end. So you can't run away from him.
Right.
Right. You got, and most teams are right-handed and
dominant.
And dominant. So now you got to come to him to get to the ball. Opposed to where he's on the left side, he's got to chase you. Now he's protected because now if you try and outrun him, he has an athlete in Uzama or Tomlinson that can cut somebody off that, come on back. Yeah, we coming to you. Eventually, you can't keep running to the sideline.
Yes.
And while I'm chasing you, eventually you got to come back.
Right.
And if you continue running to the sideline, cool. We'll just run that nice stretch play and let Breece Hall and Michael Carter do that nice zone run and eat for days. Because guess what? Not only do I have him there, I have a Pro Bowl guard right there. And I got the best. I got a great future Pro Bowler. And Vera Tucker, that's going to be climbing up from the backside because he's athletic to get to your backside linebacker or
level.
That safety.
Right.
So now, man, it's barbecue chicken. Like, so Zach Wilson's like, man, I'm just handing the ball off.
And make a play once
in
a while.
Much like Jimmy G's asked to do, much like Baker Mayfield was asked to do. And then that's how you build that confidence. And then you slowly feed him the passing game. But it's going to be based off a hard play action. It should be very few times where he's dropping back where it's not a play action pass. And then now, when you do that, it's amazing what happens when you're not getting hit in the back of the head. You're like, damn, you back there, you burping a baby like, oh, I missed my first read. Oh, man, but they got me covered back there. Oh, man, this feels so great. Let me pack 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3. Yeah, that's been a problem. Yeah, that's been a problem in New York.
Yeah, can't present
Danny Dimes and everybody, the New York teams haven't had a solidified line. When the Giants were winning their Super Bowl, what did they have? Arguably the best offensive line. When we were going to AFC Championships, we had arguably the best
Faneca,
offensive
Kevin
line.
Kevin Mawai and those guys, right.
Mm-hmm. So here we go. Nick Mangold, the Brickshaw Ferguson, we had the best offensive line. Now I think that they finally built it the right way. Both teams.
Okay.
Right? Because Evan Neal, same thing.
I love
right?
him.
You have security. You have talent. You've invested. So Zach Wilson, I know that's a long way to get to a short answer.
That's fine.
Zach Wilson.
Bart Scott, Freddie Coleman, and Bart Hahn, ESPN Radio. My choice, and I love the choice of Zach Wilson, if all the points you made, my choice is going to be Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville because of two reasons. Number one, Doug Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
I know he can do it quarterbacks. Number two, these three words, no Urban Meyer. He doesn't have to worry about a bad coach and a bad guy.
Yeah.
Where Trevor Lawrence showed more class speaking up in defense of his coach early on.
And then, in the room.
Absolutely. He became that dude where people looked at him and say, man, if he can deal with this and get us to the other side, he's going to be fine. Now you pair him with a quarterback coach, quarterback whisperer, Doug Peterson, won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles. Now you got to something special with a guy that last year threw over 3,600 yards, 12 touchdowns with nobody.
Yeah.
Now you bring him. He's got Christian Kirk. You're bringing Etienne Zay Jones.
Back.
Yeah, Etienne's coming back after being out last year with that injury. Evan Engram will not have to block as much now, being the tight end used to play for the New York Giants.
Loaded receiver.
No doubt about that. And Zach Wilson has – Trey Lance, to me, is in a better position because of where he's in San Francisco. That if he's one tenth of what they think he's going to be with that offense and that defense – they could be back in the NFC Championship game once again. But if Zach Wilson can be a consistent force and play to his strengths and minimize his weaknesses, this Jets team could be on the way to the point we're not looking at a 5-6 win team.
Yeah, I mean, because you look at Wilson, right? You look at Gary Wilson. There's so many Wilsons, insane.
They really are. And so many Ohio State wide receivers.
Right.
Number one.
But then you got Elijah Moore in the slot. Mims to all looks healthy, they say. But also, you know, they brought in the guy from the Titans. I don't know why.
Not A.J. Brown. Not him.
Yeah.
I know you're talking about.
Corey Davis.
Yes.
They brought in Corey Davis to be
Brown
the number
one. Philadelphia.
Yeah, they brought him in to be number one. That's a formidable, young, exciting receiving core.
Sure.
And with Bryce Hall and Carter, who I love because he's just a competitor. I mean, to me, it can be special.
In that division with Josh Allen.
And they still have money.
Mackin Jones, yeah.
I still hope that the Jets.
Who they need to get?
They need to go out and get, I've been saying his name all season long. They need to go. It's a free agent out there. I think Trotter, the center from Cleveland.
Oh, J.C. Trotter.
J.C. Trotter. Mm-hmm. They need to go out. If they go out and get, because I think McGovern, they need a bit of an upgrade.
Right.
If you look at that, that would be five Pro Bowlers, you know, caliber Pro Bowlers at your offensive line.
Yeah, and we'll see what the Jets can do with Zach Wilson in year number two. Don't forget to tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. Bring your deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. We're going to take some time to remember somebody who has been gone from us way too soon. Keep it here on Bart and Hahn, and this is ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Here on Bart and Hahn, Bart Scott over here, Freddie Coleman over here, in for Alan Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as TuneIn. You're going to have a chance to hear about talking about somebody who has been gone from us too soon. But real quick, down in Florida at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. He wants to weigh in on the quarterback discussion we had, in which Bart Scott believes that out of the second-year quarterbacks going into next year, that Zach Wilson and the Jets will make the biggest jump. I think it's Trevor Lawrence of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Down in Florida, what do you have?
I was just surprised that you guys didn't say anything about Mac Jones. I mean, I think out of the second-year quarterbacks, he had the most playing time the first year, and correct, he might not be as flashy as, you know, Zach and some of the other quarterbacks, but I think he's steady. I think he's got a good grasp of the offense, and I think the AFC is going to be an awesome football division this year.
Yeah, the only reason I didn't say Mac Jones, because I don't think the team did a good enough job in improving the roster. Losing Shaq Mason, who's one of the best, you know, linemen on that team and arguably one of the best guards in the game. And then you look at what their draft grades were. Their draft grades wasn't great, and the only move that they really made was for Devontae Parker. And I always am concerned when a team is willing to trade somebody within a division, it means that they don't fear anything that they bring to the table from a defensive standpoint. They lost a lot of leaders, you know, so it's going to be more on Mac Jones because they didn't improve the defense. They lost three starters when you think about Jeez, I don't know what's wrong with my memory. They lost Kyle Van Noy.
There you go.
Jamie Collins.
Uh-huh.
And Dante Hightower.
There you go.
Those were guys.
I knew you remember. I was worried.
Those were guys who were instrumental in the leadership standpoint there. So now you get younger and you're not as talented.
Yeah.
It's a bit of concern because now Mac Jones won't have leads and can't just turn around and hand the ball off. He won't even know who the hell the offensive coordinator is.
I know. It could be Joe Judge. Could be Matt Patricia.
Joe Judge, who got fired. He's never coached a position in his life.
I'd rather him than Matt Patricia. If I had the lesser two evils,
at least
him.
At least one is a mathematician. He can maybe write up an equation to get a play open.
Who, Matt Patricia?
Yeah, he got a pencil.
Good. Oh, come on.
Number two pencil.
Yeah, but couldn't dial up Jimmy's and Joe's with X's and O's in Detroit? Come on now. I will say this about Mac Jones. I didn't put him in there as well because they made the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And I want to see if they're going to be able to push the ball down the field a little bit more, because I thought at times they were too much dink and dunk because they didn't open up the playbook for Mac Jones. That's why I didn't put him in terms of making the biggest jump up, because his team made the playoffs last year and beat the Buffalo Bills. by not throwing the football. So we'll see what Mac Jones is going to do from that standpoint. But you're right. In that division, when you got Josh Allen and now Tyreek Hill, you better do something at quarterback.
Patriots could be the worst team in the division.
Wow. Behind the Jets?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
It is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, as well as your smart speaker with Bart Scott and Freddie coming in for Alan Hahn. We're going to get to remembering a friend, a friend, a friend. After we hear this from Joey in Detroit, he wants to talk about the pressure on the Brooklyn Nets now that Kyrie Irving is going to opt in and get $36.5 million this year at 888-729-3776. Big Joe, what you got?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, my man.
I was going to say, the Nets facing the most pressure just because of all the narratives. They'll say, if they lose, they'll say the front office bad at management. They'll say KD can't lead the team. Kyrie need Bron. Both of their former teams was just in the finals and everything revolving around Ben Simmons. But, even though they face the most pressure, I think they're the team that's best equipped to live up to it because the talent there, that's undeniable. Everybody has to buy in and they can win it all because at the end of the day, KD a champion. You can't take anything away, but he can add to it if you go out there and get it done. And about that Doritos thing, I'm from the trenches, so we ain't always have much. So, it ain't really I like that junk, but it's more so that's really all we have for you, feel me? I used to just put Doritos in between two pieces of bread and bang, you feel me?
See, well, listen, this how you know he from Detroit.
Right.
Feel me. That is strictly an adjective used in Detroit.
Right, yeah.
Feel me.
It's not two words.
And trust me,
it's
I do feel word. You. I'm from the east side of the Detroit, so I understand, baby. Southeastern High School. So
I love the trench love here going on here.
From the trenches, you know what I'm saying? I feel you.
Yeah, sometimes when you don't have much, what's the old line? You have like a jam sandwich, two pieces of bread and jam them together?
Syrup sandwich, all that stuff.
One time my dad told me that, they would still put that a sugar sandwich. You put sugar between two pieces of bread. I looked down and said, that's really a discredit to sugar there from that standpoint.
Sugar will start. To start caramelize if you
right.
been there long enough. So it kind of caramelized. So it's basically a syrup sandwich.
Completely a syrup sandwich.
It just didn't start off as a syrup sandwich.
Either way, my dad talked about growing up in a family of 14 kids. He said sometimes you had to be at the dinner table first because you didn't eat.
Be creative.
From that standpoint. So I'm going to give you a chance because let you cook with this a little bit because we lost a friend of the show when it comes to Tony Siragusa. Passed away untimely at the age of 55 last week. And somebody that you knew really intimately playing those years with the Baltimore Ravens. He also played the Indianapolis Colts. And, share your thoughts on having a chance to talk about your friend.
And, it was a tough day in for the Raven family last year, losing two of our teammates last week. And, just a shock because that team had just got together and celebrated the 2000 team. They were able to see each other. He was a bigger-than-life figure for all those in Hard Knocks. You remember just what the jokester he was, locking Shannon Sharp in the trailer and, all the fun stuff. And, he was a bigger-than-life personality. And that's saying a lot when you talk about that Raven organization that has been filled with big personalities. He was arguably the biggest. He's going to be missed, and, he's from this area as well. He was an all-state wrestler, in the Hall of Fame here, and, he was residing here, and, his services will be tomorrow. And I just want to, you guys to pray and thoughts and prayers to his wife, Kathy, and his kids, Samantha, Ava, and Anthony. They lost a good man, but this world lost a good man because he was a caring, big, gentle giant who was always able to put a smile on everybody's face and be able to light up a room. We had some fun. He had the Man Cave show, and he came out, and they pretty much pimped my man cave, and we had a lot of fun times. And every time I look down at my leg, I'm going to remember him because we took my Ferrari out, and we were racing it through the hills, and, yes, he could fit in my Ferrari.
Really?
It was a big Ferrari.
I hope so.
he could fit in my Ferrari. And I always bear this mark on my shin because after we got out and kind of racing it, I reached in the trunk and and burnt my leg off, and you know, burnt my skin off like in a half. You know, it's a circle. It's like a half. Right. So I got like a little half moon going on right there. And we just kept going and made it part of the show. We put some butter on it, had some fun, and kept it moving. But you know, I always miss you, big fella, and I appreciate everything he taught me. When I got to Baltimore, he had moved on and retired, and he's working for Fox, you know, sideline reporter, and just teaching us the ropes and coming in and hearing about how they went about their business and the culture that they set in that building and trying to live up to all the greats that had came before us, and he was definitely one of them. And you know, he's going to be missed, and you know, it's going to be a lot of tears in the building tomorrow when we go to his funeral service and we take him to his final resting place. But, you know, he'll always live within our hearts, and we appreciate the time that we did have with him, and 55 is going way too early.
What's the most important thing he taught you?
Just, you know, accountability, enjoying life. I mean, he was a tremendous father as well, right? You people remember the Hard Knocks, season. Mm-hmm. Remember him in the toy store teaching his son a lesson when he fell, teaching him to get back and tell him that you're going to fall in your life and teach him how to get back up. And that was Goose, life lessons within having fun.
I tell you what, the one thing I noticed about him on Fox, most big men can't dress. He was not one of those guys. He had like the long coat, the pants were frayed a little bit.
Classic Italian guy, man. Curly hair.
Who are you telling?
Big old sausage fingers.
Absolutely. Some big guys don't look well in suits or in coats. Tony Siragusa was not one of those guys, but he knew exactly how to dress to impress.
Was, you know, acted a little bit as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, like I said.
Also, you know, to the other kid we lost, Jalen.
Yeah.
You know, 26 years old.
That's by three kids.
It's tragic, man. It's just been it's been a tough week for the Raven family, but we're going to come together and find strength in each other.
No doubt. My thoughts and prayers with you, Bart, and everybody else as well. Canty and Carlin comes your way next. Thanks for joining us on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.